This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, new revelations and reverberations about the death of Robin Williams. And when it comes to pure evil, it's hard to beat Charles Manson. And we'll get our kicks on Route 66. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is still in Northern California. She'll check in with us in a moment. Shopping for your news deals, it's Jay Capadonia.
If you are traveling around the country and don't have the cash for a place to stay, I may have the perfect solution.
And it's first and goal in the red zone with Chris Martin.
I know. You're all tired of hearing the empty rumors about the NFL team coming back to Los Angeles. But when Magic says it, it's got to be true, right?
It's got to be. We'll explore that.
It's a great delivery there.
It sure is. All right. You almost fumbled that one, didn't you?
Yeah, at the goal line.
All right, here we go. Let's get things started. We're glad you tuned in today. And have you seen the tremendous outpouring of flowers and notes and tributes to Robin Williams today? Up in Northern California still, after covering the suicide of the beloved actor and comic, our very own Jennifer Bjorklund, still in Northern California. Jennifer, you've seen firsthand the tributes, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's incredible the way this city just feels things. Maybe it's because it's like Manhattan is sort of enclosed on its own little spot, a little bit surrounded by water. It's like an island. But, I was here for that Bat Kid story a few months ago where the whole city was celebrating.
Sure.
And I have to tell you, it's kind of the same thing here now where the whole city is mourning because Robin Williams was just a regular guy around here, especially in Marin County. And, even in San Francisco by the Mrs. Doubtfire House, a lot of people have been stopping by there because it's up on Steiner Street in San Francisco, A lot of people have been leaving stuff by there. And ironically, it's kind of interesting. The guy who lives in that house now is a doctor who is one of the premier specialists in plastic surgery for facial feminization. So for transgender operations, he's the guy.
This is the Mrs. Doubtfire house?
The guy that lives in the Mrs. Doubtfire house now. So,
wow.
He says way back in the day, and he confesses he's never seen the movie, just bits and pieces of it, which, if that was my house, I would be watching. I'd be like, oh, my gosh, look at the molding's a different color.
Let's be honest. Yay. Robin Williams' makeup and Mrs. Doubtfire would probably make a plastic surgeon, would horrify a plastic surgeon.
The makeup artist who did the work and the prosthetics for that movie might be listening and might be crying right now.
Oh, gosh, I hurt somebody else's feelings? No.
Not you. But he said he's really happy with all the people coming by and you would think that people would be bothered by that kind of thing when their house is a tourist attraction, for something like that. But between that and the bench in Boston, where they had that scene from
Goodwill Hunting.
Goodwill Hunting. And the Dead Poets Society film, when the guy jumped up on the desk, Captain. That whole scene has been reenacted all over social media. Everyone's doing it. Jimmy Fallon did it last night. It was kind of neat, and it's
funny you brought up that Jimmy Fallon tribute last night. It was disgusting. He started with an impersonation of Robin Williams. He made it about himself. I was really surprised at that.
I felt like he was trying to remind the audience that may not know who Robin Williams was as a stand-up.
Because nobody knows.
Well, as a stand-up, I think people know him more as an actor, but I can
right.
see that.
Right, and as a stand-up comedian. I mean, I think if you've ever seen Robin Williams do stand-up, it's like a Laker game. You need to wipe up the floors with buckets.
Yeah. It's a little manic, almost.
It is absolutely manic, and I think that's kind of what that was all about.
Yeah.
But, Jimmy Fallon looked up to him so much just because he did all those voices, all those impressions, and that's what Jimmy Fallon loves to do, and he grew up watching it. So, if you think he made it about himself, then maybe that's because he's beginning to master it. He's the master of his generation of that kind of thing.
Anything new from the police on Robin
Williams
today?
They had a news conference yesterday, and I think we touched on this yesterday, but just the absolute just
detail.
Information.
Too much detail.
Yeah, detail, just a little bit too much. I think it really made a lot of people uncomfortable about the detail and of the personal nature of that. Hey, did you see Zelda Williams' statement today?
Go ahead.
About her dad? Oh, it was great. She said something like, for those of you bringing negativity about my father and how he died, there's a part of him up there in heaven who's shyly giggling and sending flocks of pigeons to poop on your car. Yes, right after it comes back from the car wash, that's what's happening, you know?
Wow.
Good for her.
And Chris, you had something on Zelda as well, Chris, didn't you?
I did, yes. It's actually a little disheartening. She actually chose to cancel all of her social media accounts today because she was receiving several disturbing and graphic photoshopped images along with crude and hateful remarks. So
yeah, see, that's I think what the pooping on your car thing was about. But
yeah, and then
you
she
know,
canceled
she,
them.
What she said was, you know, the thing that he loved best, her father loved best, is to make people laugh. And if he can keep doing that after he's gone, then that would just make her and everyone who loved him really, really happy. So, you know, go see your favorite Robin Williams movie and have a few laughs.
Well, how soon before, like, HBO or Cinemax does the 48 hours of Robin Williams, you know?
Yeah,
soon. Hasn't started already?
Yeah, right.
What Dreams May Come, by the way, was the number one movie people were watching in memoriam of Robin Williams. That seemed to
really?
Be their favorite. From what I could see, yeah, what I was reading.
Well, that's interesting.
Interesting.
Hey, Jennifer, I know you've been working from dawn to dusk, probably for about four straight days now.
Or dusk to dawn, more like lately.
Right. And so we know you need a little break.
Oh, hey, you know, are you going to give me the rest of the week off?
In fact, that's what I was considering, but only if you go somewhere fun. Will you promise to do that?
You know what? I promise you I will go to the Laguna Seca racetrack and watch a bunch of old race cars zooming around and around in circles starting tomorrow.
Well, that's you're going to have to come back with cupcakes, too.
Okay, we'll do it.
All right, good. We'll talk to you Monday, then.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Jen. She's a busy lady.
No surprise she's not taking her vacation in Hawaii.
No, that's right. Hey, wasn't there a guy, Chris, speaking of, not racing, but sports generally, and tying this into Robin Williams, wasn't there a guy that did something special on the radio?
Yeah, this is a fun story related to Robin Williams. A guy on WSB Sports, he creatively fit 22 different Robin Williams movie references into one two-minute sportscast. So if you want YouTube, Zach Klein with a K, and check it out. It's a pretty cool piece.
Yeah. All right. Good. Well, maybe we'll search for that and we'll stick it on our show fun
good
page.
Good for him.
You find that for me and I'll make sure it gets up there.
You got it.
All right. Good. And so, you know, if you need a place to stay, it may be just right up the street at your local shopping center. Jay, what do you say?
Texas teens spent 4 days, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 days inside a store without being detected.
What store?
What store?
He stayed in a Walmart.
Really?
He basically built two forts. This is actually really cool. 14-year-old kid, right?
So I miss building forts.
Yeah, right? Everybody loved building the big pillow forts with the sheets and whatever else.
Yeah.
If you were lucky enough to have a treehouse, that was your...
Dirt clods.
Dirt. Yeah. Fights were the best with dirt clogs.
Yes.
So this guy built two hiding spots, one in the baby aisle and then one behind a stack of paper towels. You know those big displays paper towels?
How does he get away with that? They have cameras in the ceiling and everything.
Get this. He would walk around the store and he would grab clothes off the shelves, go back to his hiding spot and change and then walk around. So he was undetected somehow, found a way in the baby aisle and the paper towel display that was undetected by the cameras. He would also wear diapers so he didn't have to go in and out of the restroom. He would steal some of the food and some of the juice off of the shelves and go right back to his hiding spot. How they found him?
How did they find him?
Trash started to pile up in some of the aisles.
Oh.
And they finally figured out, hey, look, some guy's living there.
It's either Hansel or Gretel.
Yeah, right?
Whenever my hamster got out, he always went to the paper towels and then started chewing it up and making little nests.
Yeah, but he didn't leave adult diapers in the aisleways.
No,
yeah,
he left hamster poop.
Is that what he left?
No. Just evidently trash among trash upon trash. They were found inside the two little hiding
but
spots.
But not on the security camera. And none of the employees witnessed anything that seemed amiss.
This is the lesson that Walmart needs to learn. You have a bunch of idiots working for you. Because the kids out there, like, sleeping on the hammock in the camping aisle, whatever.
I'm sure there are some exceptions.
I'm sure there are. Like I've got family that works
like
for the company.
Like the Walmart employees who listen to this program. They
yes.
are amongst the smartest people on this planet.
Right. That's why they work for Walmart. So anyways, but yes. So the Walmart says they're not going to file charges.
No.
No. How do you file charges
well, because
against
he's
a kid?
He's a genius.
Kind of, yeah.
Compared to some of the Walmart employees.
Exactly. Thank
I
wonder, you.
I wonder what's going on at home that has them living in a Walmart.
Well, if you think about it, Walmart's kind of a cool place.
Oh, it's awesome.
They've got everything that you want
yeah.
at great prices.
Right.
And this is not a commercial, but
no,
because I don't shop there.
They have that Kathy Lee clothing. That's great stuff.
Right? You know, but you'll never catch me in a Walmart ever.
No,
ever.
I picture you.
Why, is that a philosophical thing for you?
Look, I got family that works for that company. I think they've got great prices, but I cannot deal with the clientele in that place. There's no way.
No?
No
what about
way.
A Bass Pro
Animals.
Shop, though?
Absolutely. Bass Pro Shop. Now that, I could stay. I'd be eating, like, fish food for, like...
Living in the boats.
Yeah. Evidently, oh, I forgot to mention this. The guy went to the pet aisle and grabbed some of those betta fish and
yeah.
put inside his forts.
Really?
So he had pets to hang out with.
I like this kid.
I mean, what's next? Like a big screen TV? Come on, guy.
Where's Brooke, our producer? Can we get this kid on the show?
Now, that would be good.
But he's not local. This is where? Texas.
He's in Texas. Yeah, small town in Texas.
All right. You have his last name?
No, he's 14 years old, so cops won't release his name.
Start calling every number in the city until we find the kid.
Yeah, right.
All right. Up next, I know... You've heard it over and over and over again, but maybe, just maybe, there's a chance this time that we're going to get a football team in Los Angeles. And we're going to hear from Chris on that story and a whole lot more next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. Thanks for tuning in. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2. Phil Hewlett, Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin. And I'm almost hesitant to even bring it up because we've talked about it so many times for so long, all the way back to remember when Davis from the Raiders.
Al
Davis got paid $1 million just to sit down at a table and negotiate with the city of Irwindale.
Yes.
Remember that? He took the check, had the meeting, and said, all right, see you later, suckers.
That's why he's so beloved.
Went back up to Oakland and where he stayed ever since and probably will never come back because is he even alive?
Al Davis?
Help me out. Did Al Davis die?
Yes, he passed away.
He did?
Yes.
Al Davis officially dead?
Mm-hmm.
Still dead.
Yeah, it was
still
like,
dead.
I think it was actually 5 years before it was officially announced.
That's how long he was out?
Yeah.
All right. Well, just the same, you know, the talk about bringing a team to Los Angeles or to the City of Industry or to the former Hollywood Park site or all the various conversations about bringing teams, it falls on flat ears now, dead ears, because nobody believes it's going to happen. But it all depends on the messenger. You're not going to believe me if I tell you a team's coming, but, Chris, you might believe this guy.
Yeah, Magic Johnson. When Magic Johnson tells you something, you have to believe it's going to happen because this guy makes things happen.
And he never lies.
Never.
That's possibly debatable. But he has come out and publicly said, and I quote, "I think for the first time, I truly believe we're going to get a team in L.A. Everybody's on board. The city's on board. The business community is on board. The NFL is on board. We finally have momentum." He goes on to say he thinks the team's coming to L.A. within the next 2 years.
All right. Now, there's two different things in his quote there. He thinks it's coming in 2 years. Okay, keyword think. The other is he truly believes. You know, that's like a hopey, feely, touchy thing.
It's what he said before he got in with the Dodgers. Same wording.
He believes the Dodgers will be his team?
Yeah.
After he buys them? Before he bought
sure,
them?
He's right, big on that positive thinking, law of attraction stuff, you know? Start talking about
it. What team does he want here?
Well, Jay, you'll be surprised to find out that it's probably Oakland because he was just up there for the Dallas-Oakland scrimmage game.
Get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was up there for a meeting with the Davis family, Mark Davis and the rest of the family.
No.
Remember, Mark Davis just refused to sign a contract extension for the Oco Coliseum up there in Oakland.
Because it's a pile. It's,
right.
The Oakland Coliseum is a bona fide dung heap.
Bigger than the L.A. Coliseum?
Oh, the L.A. Coliseum is the Four Seasons compared to the Oakland Coliseum.
So
you've not been
the
there?
Raiders here? No, I've never been up there in Oakland. I would never go to a football game in Oakland. Never.
There are copper pipes coming out of the sides of the concourse. Used to deliver beer, okay? They have beer stands now where people stand in line. You can't walk around the concourse. But those copper pipes are still sticking out of the sides of the concourse.
God.
So when you walk around, you could actually hit your head on them. They never took the pipes out. I mean, that's
enough for Raiders fans.
Indicative of the kind of upkeep that they have at the Oakland Coliseum. It just, you know, it needs to be taken back by Mother Nature.
Yeah, there you go. Along with the Raiders, all of them.
Let the ants and the rats take over and bring it all back into the soil.
we'll see. They're looking for a new home. Maybe it'll be here.
It'll only
Los
take
Angeles.
A couple of weeks. It's, you know, it's just one degree away from crumble.
Well, I'll tell you what. On Friday, we're going to be talking to a guy on the other side of the coin. There, Mr. Martin, the president of the SoCal Rams.
Now we're
Boosters
talking.
Club.
Now we're talking.
The 11th annual, they're going to have a giant picnic this weekend. We'll talk more about it on Friday.
Yeah.
But bring the Rams back. That was a classy organization.
Right.
Not the Raiders. And what are those fans called that paint their face?
Raiders.
Raiderettes?
They're just Raiders fans.
Oh, all right.
Or
I think they've got like some stupid name.
Well, don't go off too much because not just Raiders fans wear that stuff.
That's true.
Scary people with guns wear that stuff.
Oh, Raiders fans. Okay.
Don't forget the Rams aren't exactly the greatest team in the NFL right now either.
That's all right.
Granted, they get here. Any team gets here and maybe they're going to see some upswing.
I left the NFL as a sports fan when the Rams left Los Angeles, left Orange County. That I followed them when they were at the Coliseum. I have autographs from the guys back in the Roman Gabriel days.
Sure.
And when they went to Anaheim and they were playing on a baseball field, right?
Yeah.
Was following them.
Remember Eric Dickerson?
Sure.
That guy was the man.
Stand-up guy. He could run right through you.
Phil, should join us in San Diego and join the cardiac roller coaster that we face every year.
Hey, some fascinating, while we're talking football, some fascinating odds from the odds makers in Vegas. This is a place called Bovada's Online Sportsbook. The Denver Broncos are the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. 13-2 right now.
No way. You got to be kidding.
You know, after the drubbing they took last year, right? Last season. Last year's champs, the Seahawks, are a close second with a 15-2. So
they're going to be tough this year again.
Yeah.
The Raiders or Broncos picked up a couple of real key pieces on
defense.
By the
way, I got a text. The Raiders fans are called Raider Nation. Thanks, Jeff.
Raider Nation? Is that one word?
Whatever.
With an SH in it?
They couldn't spell it anyway. It doesn't matter.
Hey, by the way, Jacksonville Jaguars are the longest odds, 250-1.
Put $100 down, you're going to make some cash.
That's right.
That's who you're going to get in L.A., by the way.
Jags. And if you want to hedge, 100-1 odds for Tennessee, along with the Raiders and the Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
Peyton Manning, odds on favorite to win the MVP, 3-1.
Well, it's probably one of his last years. They got to hand it
to
him.
I'd put my money there.
Yeah. Would you?
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Now, what else do we have? You ever use Yelp?
I don't.
Nope.
You don't use it?
No.
I've used it.
But I know of it.
I've used it to shame a moving company.
Good.
But how about you, Chris? You ever use it?
I don't. But I mean, I've seen a few reviews on Yelp, but I choose to just walk into places blindly and make my own decisions.
Some people are master reviewers, and they do it like crazy, and it seems like they should get free stuff.
Well, now they're looking for money, these master reviewers. They're actually bringing a class action lawsuit against Yelp. They say they deserve to be monetarily compensated for their work.
Get out of here.
Yeah, just for writing reviews on Yelp. You know, Yelp has a handful of people they call scouts that they do actually pay in cash. And this lawsuit that they're bringing up, these writers claim that they do the exact same work as the scouts, and they deserve to be paid for it.
Wouldn't that compromise your objectivity?
Yeah, and you're not an employee. You're some Yahoo on the internet writing a review. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what Joe Blow thinks.
What if they write a review on Yahoo?
Well, then they
or
would
Amazon,
be,
yeah. Or, yeah. Then you're they're a
still,
Yahoo.
There's still internet Yahoos writing reviews. I didn't like their burrito sauce. Well, that's your opinion there, Joe. Thanks.
It is funny that you bring that up, though, because Yelp has also been accused of manipulating reviews to try to draw in advertisers.
Yeah, if you don't advertise with us, we can't guarantee the reviews are going to be all so great.
And if you do, we might be able to guarantee they'll be shining.
That is weak.
Yeah. But that's the internet for you. It's still the Wild West.
Still fun.
Sure, why not?
And there's a lot of pretty girls.
What are you looking at? Wait a minute. What is that? Hey, this is right in your backyard, but chances are pretty good you have not planned a trip to it or on it. Know what I'm talking about? Our travel dude drives Route 66 with us next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin are here. Jennifer Bjorklund was in at the beginning of the program, and if you missed it, I am sorry. I know she's your favorite part of the program, but you came in late, and you have to take your lumps. But you're in luck, my friend, because this program will be available for you to listen later on demand at philhewlettandfriends.com.
But you know what I forgot to do?
What did you
forget? To wish you Happy International Lefties Day.
Really? Is that today?
That is today. I didn't get you a cake, I'm sorry, because you lefties can't be trusted. But
I'm left-handed.
Happy International Left-Handers Day.
Have we taken over yet, or are we the majority yet?
No, only 10% of the global population is left-handed, Phil.
I can't believe that.
And you can't be trusted.
Are you you're right-handed?
You're weirdos.
Chris?
Yep. Right-handed, yeah.
Mike Stark, our executive producer,
right-handed.
He's right-handed. Our production assistant is right-handed. That's Nick Wright. He's right-handed. How about our an assistant in training, Nikki Lucius? She's right-handed. Okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 against one. That's
15%.
15%.
Global population, only 10%.
Only 10% born with that deformity.
How about our travel dude, Gary Warner? Left, right.
Right, but the son of two lefties, so I don't know how that happened.
Well, maybe it skips a generation.
Yeah,
maybe
you came
it does.
Out correctly,
maybe it does.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so from the Santa Monica Pier to Chicago, you can still get your kicks on Route 66, apparently.
You can still get your kicks on Route 66, though not the original alignments. Hey, before we go off on that, I want to just say one thing real quick about the previous conversation, and that is, folks, Yelp and TripAdvisor are great tools. But buyer beware. Anybody who thinks that these things are just innocent reviewers, common folk who are putting these things up there is being sold a bill of goods. So use them, but use them, you know, with a big, big chunk of salt.
Right. Okay. And just to be clear, we have not paid you to say a single word that you're about to say as you review the trip up and down Route 66.
That's right. That's right.
This is true, unabashed, honest reviewing. And am I right? Route 66 starts at the Santa Monica Pier.
No. It ends at the Santa Monica Pier.
Oh, that's not the start, no?
No. In fact, anybody who goes out to the Santa Monica Pier on a weekend, you go out on the pier and there's the Ferris wheel and all the other folks that are strolling around and the big hordes of bums who are all panhandling. There's a stone marker near the front of the pier that says this is the terminus of Route 66.
Terminus, meaning beginning.
Terminus, meaning the end.
The end.
The end.
I still want it to be the beginning.
Yeah, I know. I know. No. The whole idea was basically this was a road to take people from Chicago. There's a similar stone right at next to Lake Michigan in downtown Chicago, and get them basically from Chicago out to the new areas in the West. And it was really especially used during the Depression. This is the road that the Joads took in Grapes of Wrath to get out to California. During the Dust Bowl, millions of Americans, including my next-door neighbor, came out this way to a better life, and most of them did.
Yeah. All right. What's the opposite of terminus? Cordimus?
Do you know?
That was a question and a half, Phil.
I'm sorry. It's been a long time.
You don't know?
Show off how big your brain is,
Phil.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. See, and the reason I ask is because that's what I don't
Spartacus.
Know.
Spartacus.
No.
Spartacus, yeah, wasn't that Kirk Douglas?
No.
Anyway.
I'm looking it up. I don't know the answer yet. So
yeah. We'll see. But basically what it is this road really had a heyday from about the 1930s until the 1950s. In the 50s, we began the freeway system. A lot of Route 66 has now been paved over by Interstate 40. You know, the old Bobby Troup song, you know, Route 66, you know, you know, gonna take a drive and motor west. You know, coming my way, that's the byway, that's the best.
What's just happened to this program?
Yeah, keep going.
Well,
no,
anyway,
I don't know.
What I'm saying
going.
Is that the he goes, the final line is Kingman Barstow San Bernardino. In other words, the song ends with San Bernardino, but a lot of people in Southern California don't know that Route 66 continues on past San Bernardino all the way to the pier. Now, because there's been such explosive growth in this area, a lot of the stuff that was there in the heyday in the 30s and 40s is gone.
Yeah. Well, when you're from San Bernardino to all the way to the Santa Monica Pier, Route 66 is three or four different roads, isn't it?
Right. Colorado, some baseline, Santa Monica Boulevard. Yeah. A lot of different ones. And you really have to find the map to
isn't even
show you where it
Whittier
be.
Boulevard is Route 66 for a couple
yes,
of blocks?
Yes, I believe so. And
I've driven on Route 66 because I've been on all of these streets.
I think everybody has at some point, but I mean, taking a trip from Santa Monica to Chicago, I mean, that takes a vacation.
Well, see, what I want to know is where does the pavement end and the sand begin? Because there have to be a bunch of places. I know you could drive out to Rialto and stay in those little motels that are shaped like teepees. You know what I'm talking about?
God, no.
No, when I go to Rialto, I just stay at the Walmart.
No, come on. No, this is the Wigwam motel. It's in Rialto.
Like the famous one?
The famous one, and it's right there on Route 66 because all the weird things were on Route 66, the Wigwam Hotel.
Oh, they have the world's biggest rocking chair or something
Can
like that?
Can you get straight, Gary, to Rialto without the Route 66 breaking up?
No. It basically goes along through downtown San Bernardino past the old theater that's downtown there. That is the old Route 66. The Wigwam Motel, which I think we talked about once before, has been wonderfully restored by a Indian American family. That's a Southern Asian family named Patel, who took this place that used to have a sign that said, make it in a teepee. You know, they were kind of going towards a certain clientele, and they completely redid it and have restored it to its rightful place as a road icon. And the Route 66 groups that drive this route stop there now. It's not a great neighborhood, but still at the same time, that is a piece of Route 66 right smack here in Southern California.
Yeah,
a few others. The Aztec Hotel. Which is along the drive there in, I think it's Monrovia. I got to look that one up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. We don't expect you to know everything. But here, let me ask you this. If you devote a three-day weekend to this, you stay in Rialto?
No, stay in Rialto
the first night, and then where do you go? How far out can you go on a three-day weekend?
No. What I would suggest if somebody really wanted to do this would be to go out to the state line and start at a place like Kingman, Arizona, or up in Oatman, which is the old town where the donkeys still walk around in the main street and they have shootouts.
Yeah.
Start there. Drive down the old route across the Colorado River where you can see the beautiful gleaming lights of Laughlin.
Yeah.
And then that takes you up through Amboy and the high desert areas out there and into Victorville, Barstow, San Bernardino. That's one day probably there. Then a day from Barstow, probably somewhere into L.A. I don't really advocate trying to follow the whole route. I did that myself, and it just got to be grueling because you're looking for...
And by the time you get to Kansas City, you think, what in the world did I do?
What in the world did I do? No, I'm talking about when you're trying to go from just down to Santa Monica. And I finally got to Santa Monica. Yeah. 11 o'clock at night, and I was wishing that I'd been there all night.
Well, I need to do this and get all the way to, is it Lake Superior in Chicago?
No, what? Lake Michigan.
And I need to see the marker over there to see what the opposite of terminus is, because it is not on the internet.
And you got to get out there. I mean, the great part is New Mexico and Arizona, where they have, you know, the Cadillac Ranch with the Cadillacs that are sunk halfway into the ground. They have the meteorite crater. They have all the old, you know, weird stuff, the roadside stuff to try to get people to come off the road and buy some petrified wood. That's really the classic stretch.
Yeah.
The corner in Winslow, Arizona, you know, the Eagles song.
No,
you know,
how does that go?
I was standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona.
What are you doing? Why would you ask him that?
Such a fine size. Hey.
Oh, my
come
God.
On.
There's a girl, my lord.
Stop.
In a flatbed floor.
Will you take control of this program, Phil? It is your show.
I'm going to turn off your mic, Gary.
There's a mural on the side of this building of a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, and a picture of a statue of a guy who looks like Jackson Brown, who was actually the co-writer on that song with the Eagles, in the middle of Winslow, Arizona. And people get off the highway, get off the freeway to come see this.
Yeah.
Well, they need more
it's
to
line
do.
Of the song.
They do. Well, I'm enticed to drive a couple of blocks on the Route 66 locally here now that you've talked about this. Where are you off to next week, Gary?
I am off to next week. I'm going to be looking at the tall ships that are coming into
So will we, and stay tuned for more information about that. We don't want to give away too much just yet.
Nope.
Just yet. But thank you very much.
Take care.
You too. That's our travel dude, Gary Warner.
Beginimus, by the way. That's the word you were looking for, Phil.
You're just making that up.
You're no longer allowed to talk after encouraging our travel guy to sing. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. We're pulling off the highway now. 40 years after the Tate-LaBianca murders, Charles Manson remains an evil character from the dark side of American culture. Yet he remains influential, even from behind bars. And up next, you'll hear from the man who wrote the definitive book about Manson, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks to my wife, Remy, for sending me the word principum, which is beginning in Latin. However, we cannot confirm that the word principum is on the marker at the beginning of Route 66.
I think she made it up.
It's possible, yeah. She's convincing that way.
Probably a lot of points on Scrabble, though.
You're listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. Thank you very much. On Twitter, you can leave us some feedback anytime you like, at As We See It Show. Before going to the break, we talked about the influence that Charles Manson has had, not only on history, but continues to have behind bars, where he's been for a good 40 years or so. Joining us live is the The author of the New York Times best-selling book, Manson, The Life and Times of Charles Manson, Jeff Gwynn. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, good. Why write this book? I mean, your previous books were about the OK Corral and Bonnie and Clyde. Was this a natural progression for you?
I wanted to write a book about the 1960s in America. I mean, that was a unique time, a unique decade. And I wanted a subject that sort of captured the chaos and confusion of the time. And frankly, for a lot of people who weren't even born then, that's Charles Manson. The fact that most of the things we believed about him were proven wrong was kind of a surprise to me.
Oh, well, like what?
Well, to begin with, his whole background. I mean, to hear Charlie tell it, and people believed he's the illegitimate son of a teenage prostitute who tried to sell him for a pitcher of beer now and then. And it turns out that his mother was married to William Manson. He was pretty much coddled as a child. And most of the problems he got into were of his own making. He was violent from the age of 7 when he went after a cousin of his with a sickle.
Wow. And that's kind of an evil tool to use to go after somebody,
yeah, really,
isn't it?
Well, Manson has always been violent from the time he was a little kid even to now in prison. He lost a lot of visiting privileges, I think about a year ago, because he carved his toothbrush handle into a shank, 79 years old, and he's ticked off at somebody and he's going to stab him.
Yet, is he in prison for any specific violent act that his hands carried out?
Manson actually participated in the murder of Shorty Shea, a Spahn ranch hand who died after the Tate LaBianca murders. A lot of people buy into Charlie's yarn that he never killed anybody, Tate LaBianca or anybody else. And that's simply not true. Manson just knows how to appear to be a victim, and he knows how to manipulate the media.
Yeah, he's a master manipulator, and you can use his Manson family, so-called, Tex Watson, Leslie Van Houten, and the bunch, as examples, because they would do anything he wanted, right?
Well, the trick with Charlie, when he was in prison before any of the murders, he took a Dale Carnegie course and was fascinated by how to win friends and influence people.
Sure.
What he took away from that was the Carnegie mantra, let the other fellow think the idea is his. That's what Charlie did, even on the nights of the murders. He convinced the people that that's what they wanted to do. And at the same time, then he could keep his own skirt cleaned, he hoped, by saying, I didn't kill anybody. They went out and did it. It had nothing to do with me.
Did you interview the Manson family for the book?
Oh, yes, I did. I spent quite a bit of time with Leslie Van Houten and a great deal of time with Patricia Krenwinkel, who at that time had never given a full statement about what happened that night.
What did you learn that surprised you from either of those?
A couple of things. First of all, that Manson was involved the night of the Tate murder. According to Krenwinkel, the murderers went back to Spahn Ranch. Charlie was waiting. He was hoping that they left a murder scene so vile that it would precipitate another race riot in L.A. Then Charlie could claim to his followers, see, I told you it was coming. When they told him how they had left the bodies, Charlie didn't think it was good enough. He jumped in a car and went back to the house himself and rearranged everything more dramatically. Second thing, the night of the LaBianca murders, they didn't go to that house specifically to kill those people. It was location. They'd gone to some parties at the house next door. Manson and Tex Watson knew how to get to that house from Spahn Ranch. So the victims weren't chosen because of who they were, but where they were.
But was it then perceived by Manson and the others that this was particularly much better because of the people that died were well known?
What Manson wanted to do was he wanted the murders to get a great deal of attention for two reasons. He wanted to at least precipitate some kind of race riot, so he wanted it to appear that rich, famous, powerful white people had been murdered by black militants. And he had a buddy of his, Bobby Beausoleil, in jail for a murder a few weeks previous where Manson had been involved. He was worried that Beausoleil would think on him. So he hoped if there were some copycat murders that got a lot of attention, Beausoleil would be set free and Charlie couldn't be implicated. So you had both those things working. But the main idea was if people lived in those two houses, they had to be rich, they had to be important, and if they are just brutally murdered and blacks are blamed, all hell's going to break loose in Los Angeles.
Did the family understand that motivation the same way Manson believed it, or did he feed it to them in a different version?
They believed part of it. They knew that Bobby was in jail, their buddy, and they wanted to get him out. But what they didn't understand was that Manson was using them not just to rescue Bobby, but basically to save his own butt. They have to have miracles if they're going to follow somebody. Manson had just struck out trying to become a big-name rock star. He has to do something else, so he's talking about Helter Skelter, the black-white apocalyptic war. Now, Charlie may not believe this is really going to happen, but if he can at least encourage another Watts riot, he has something to show his followers and say, see, I told you we make things happen.
How does that point of view work? How has that point of view worked for him all these years in prison? Has he wielded any kind of influence, or has it been a rocky road all this time?
Well, one of the frightening things is Manson has mastered social media with his current followers. There are quite a few of them. He's actually got a website for an organization he calls ATWA, Air Trees, Water, Animals. He now claims that he's a strict conservationist and wants the world to be green. He has found ways to keep his name out in front of the public. Right now he's got this confused young girl who swears she's married to him. Charlie says, no, I'm not married to her. It's just another way of getting attention. He's always wanted to be the center of attention, and let's face it, he succeeded.
The definitive story on Manson, it's the book that you've written, Jeff Gwynn, Manson, The Life and Times of Charles Manson. It's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. I could talk to you for a long time, but that's all the time we have now. Appreciate that you spent it with us. Jeff Gwynn, thank you.
Pleasure.
All right. So we've had quite a show, once again.
Deep, heavy stuff, story.
Huh? It is heavy stuff, but it sounds like a great book to read, and do recommend that you get it. And we also do recommend that, I don't know, we've tried to get you to stop with the selfies because that couple fell off the cliff the other day, Jay.
Yeah, well, you need selfie training if you're going to do it. That's number one. But this guy in New York, he's kind of a prankster, is walking around Times Square and other touristy spots in New York and putting up no selfie zone posters, trying to get people to stop taking selfies. Start talking to one another, take pictures with your family, instead of being so self-absorbed that you have to take a selfie of nothing but yourself and whatever is like the Statue of Liberty.
Let me guess background. What has happened. People are taking selfies in front of the no selfie zone photos.
Exactamundo.
Pictures, yes, right, exactly.
I do what I want.
I knew it. Hey, we love your comments. We have an email address, feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we'd love for you to just post what you think the opposite of terminus is. And our Twitter account is at As We See It Show.
You really want to open up that can of worms?
Why not? Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer. Production assistant, Nick Wright. Our assistant in training is Nikki Lucius. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.